Buenas, buenas, Luis por aquí. Nada, rapidito. Esto es un episodio exclusivo del Patreon. Vamos a tener una conversación, básicamente explicar el caso en contra de las criptomonedas en general y de Bitcoin en particular. Estamos hablando con un invitado que se llama David Troy. Voy a hacer la introducción ahora para no, porque no perdimos, ya la entrevista la hicimos, quedó brutal, el episodio quedó cabrón. Pero obviamente para no perder el tiempo con el invitado, que es un tipo bastante ocupado, pues dejamos la parte de la introducción y su biografía para el principio. Yo conocí a Dave Troy en el 2014 en Puerto Rico, en un Tech Summit que organizó Giancarlo González cuando era CIO del gobierno. Y pues nada, nos hicimos amigos. Él en ese Tech Summit hizo una presentación del ecosistema de Twitter en Puerto Rico, un mapa que lo presentó tan cabrón, yo nunca había visto algo como eso, que me voló la cabeza. Y de hecho, si usted alguna vez en su vida ha visto una presentación mía de cómo usar el internet y las mejores prácticas, probablemente ha visto unos mapas que hizo Dave Troy. Desde ese momento, pues él entró en mi network de personas, somos amigos en Facebook. Yo siempre lo he leído y lo admiro y sigo todo lo que hace. Él tiene un bachillerato de Johns Hopkins y qué sé yo, pero siempre ha estado involucrado en tecnología. Es lo que le dicen en Silicon Valley, un serial entrepreneur. Ahora mismo él es el presidente, CEO y fundador de una empresa que se llama 410 Labs, 410 Labs, que básicamente es una empresa que crea productos y distintos productos y le ha ido muy bien. Casi todos los productos que él tiene son relacionados a tecnologías de emails, etcétera. Adicional a eso, él ha trabajado en TED, tiene un TED Talk, de hecho, que les voy a poner el enlace en la suscripción, en la descripción. Por si quieren verlo, y pues lleva los últimos años, yo diría como 6 o 7 años, escribiendo, estudiando y publicando artículos, dando entrevistas sobre el aumento del autoritarismo en el mundo, el tema ruso, y lleva ya un par de tiempo escribiendo específicamente sobre las criptomonedas y el Bitcoin. Y es dentro de mi red de personas que yo sigo, leo, escucho y admiro, el único realmente que ha llevado una campaña dura en contra de las criptomonedas, y me pareció interesante, sobre todo el momento que vivimos, no solo a nivel global, con el precio del Bitcoin cayéndose o subiendo, depende a qué momento estés viendo, escuchando este podcast, pero también obviamente Puerto Rico, que pues parecería que estamos siendo invadidos por los Crypto Bros. Así que nada, ese es Dave Troy y ese es nuestro invitado en este Patreon. Espero que se lo disfruten. Y recuerda que si lo estás escuchando en la versión gratis y quieres escuchar el programa completo, patreon.com/puestos para el problema.
Amigos, bienvenidos a este PPP puesto por problemas. Después de un día larguísimo, Luis.
Sí, pero eso déjalo para mañana. Eso déjalo para mañana.
Sí.
Mañana.
Hoy vamos a meterla al difficult.
Al difficult,
Porque
yes.
hoy habíamos anticipado que íbamos a tener una entrevista interesantísima. Y pues yo le voy a meter al English de Carmen School. Luis le va a meter al English de San
Pero San
José.
José. Sí.
Así que, we have an interesting interview today for our listeners on our podcast, right?
Well, on our Patreon, for the
On
people
the
that
Patreon,
pay, the people
yeah.
that have made millions with crypto. Now you gotta lose some of those millions and pay the Patreon subscription. Get on it. Get on it.
So we're gonna talk about crypto. We're gonna talk about, Twitter Spaces, media, new media, and some kind of stuff. It is interesting. So, I welcome David Troy. Thanks, David. Welcome to Puesto por Problema.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So before we started the interview, I recorded a brief introduction on who Dave is and how we met and what he specialized on. So we're not gonna go through that all over. But basically, at least in my network, Dave is the leading spokesperson for the case against crypto. No, and it's not necessarily a case against the technology per se, but mostly about the ideology behind it. So I think he has a very insightful and different perspective that the dominant one right now. And I think it's interesting to bring him at the start of 2022, when maybe the pandemic will end, when maybe a new conflict between Russia and the West will start, and when crypto is taking huge losses. I mean, they have taken losses before, but so basically we decided it would be a nice change of pace for the what's happening every day down here in the island, and also to give you a different side of things, because there's a lot of activity around crypto, not only in the internet, but specifically in Puerto Rico. And so, yeah, thank you for being here, David.
Yeah, totally glad to spend some time with you guys.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. And just for those who have been living under a rock for the last 5 years, what is cryptocurrency and how did it begin?
Yeah, so you know, cryptocurrency is a digital form of payment. You know, some folks might call it kind of a digital cash, and the main idea behind it is that it's a way for recording the transfer of value and the amounts that people have in their digital wallets without requiring a central bank. You don't need like a central authority to do this. So you can actually send money from one entity to another, and it gets recorded on what's called a blockchain. And the blockchain reaches consensus about this transaction, and then it's recorded, for all time. And all of the participants in this blockchain network, which are many, record this transaction, and it's immutable. And, that creates this really kind of interesting opportunity to, think about new ways of dealing with money, but without having to deal with regular banks. So this idea started, percolating back in the 80s and 90s, and people in the cryptography world had different ideas about how to implement this.
Okay.
There were a lot of different, like the cypherpunks.
Yeah, it feels like a Neil Stephenson novel. It's a Neil Stephenson novel, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. People from that kind of milieu out in the West Coast were thinking a lot about different ways to do this. And so in 1997, there was a book that was published by two guys, William Rees-Mogg, who was one of the editors of the Times of London, and James Dale Davidson, who was a notorious anti-tax libertarian newsletter author, among other things. And they wrote this book called The Sovereign Individual. And this book kind of prophesied this idea of digital cash becoming really prominent, especially over the course of the next 20 years.
Okay.
And this digital cash idea, it really caught the fancy of a few people in particular, notably the founders of PayPal. So you've got Elon Musk, you've got Peter Thiel, David Sachs, Rod Martin, all of these people in that network, Reid Hoffman.
David, let me interrupt you, because we did a deep dive on Peter Thiel's complaint against Gawker, the Hulk Hogan case. So to reference our listeners, we did that, I think last year. I think it's a Patreon exclusive as well. So Peter Thiel is this billionaire who made his fortune with PayPal. He basically bankrolled Hulk Hogan's complaint against Gawker and basically destroyed Gawker. They never recovered. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So he's a really very intelligent guy who went to Stanford. He was very notoriously involved with libertarian causes and sort of what might be considered kind of countercultural type efforts. For the West Coast. Being very kind of right-leaning in his orientation. And, to some extent, he takes these kinds of stances just to kind of almost be contrarian. The recent Max Chafkin book about Thiel called The Contrarian really outlines a lot of how he thinks about stuff. And, he's a powerful, smart, determined person. The issue kind of is, though, that he has these really extreme kind of libertarian viewpoints that he's trying to kind of inject into the world. So these guys, when they started PayPal, they, you know, the way that PayPal, you know, you think about like how it started versus how it ended, you know, it started out as, you know, this like idea to like totally rethink currency and the future of money. And it ended up being kind of a way to pay people, you know, pay each other on PayPal or on eBay, you know, for eBay transactions, you know, which is fine. There's a totally valid use case and eBay was willing to, you know, pay a significant amount of money for the company. But yeah,
feels so quaint and homey now to think about eBay and like the 90s and the World Wide Web and how,
and you know, you think about how, what the scope of their ambition was to like, you know, replace money, and it ends up being this kind of like, you know, sort of sideshow thing for eBay, you know, purchased by, you know, Meg Whitman, you know, you feel like that they didn't fulfill the vision that they had. And so, you know, around 2009, right after the big financial crash in 2008, Bitcoin appears, and it's created by this character named Satoshi Nakamoto.
One knows who he is, right?
One knows who it is. There's a lot of speculation. There was a recent lawsuit where a guy named Craig Wright claimed to be him, but you know, no one can really prove that short of producing the original keys, and nobody's done that yet. So still unknown, but Peter Thiel has gone on the record saying that it was very important that whoever created it be anonymous, because if they weren't, they would be arrested. So, you know, it's telling to me that the PayPal network had such a vested interest in producing something like this. And then they're the ones that talk the most about the origins and identity. You know, you hear Thiel and Musk and the rest of them talking about this rather incessantly. And so, you know, a lot of people, the smart money, sort of the best guess is that this project was born out of those guys' efforts. And, you know, maybe not by them, but by people that they knew. And, you know, there's a bunch of names that get floated around, you know, Nick Szabo and different ones. But, and, you know, that's not something that I spend a lot of time worrying about.
Yeah.
But, you know, the idea is that this thing started to exist in 2009. And once it was kind of out of the bag, it was going to take on this trajectory of doing whatever it was going to do. And of course, if you started to promote it and put effort behind it and, you know, stick a lot of money into it and drive press and that kind of thing, you could actually drive the value of it up rather high, because, you know, it's a scarce asset. There can only ever be 21 million Bitcoins. So for every new investment that goes into this thing and more people that, you know, claim Bitcoins, you know, the higher the value of each individual Bitcoin becomes. It's just simple math.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was kind of the trajectory that got set into motion in 2009. And it's been kind of sitting there percolating along for the last 12 years or so. Mm-hmm. And now here we are in 2022. And, you know, people are kind of waking up and going like, hey, wait a minute, what exactly is this thing and who came up with it and why and what's it for? So a lot of what I've been doing is to try to help people understand really where this came from and what the ideas are behind it, because it's not just, you know, like a lot of times people are sort of like, oh, tech is just a good thing always.
Yeah, and, you know, of course
we're into tech, all of us, you know, many of us like you and me are, you know, very much early adopters. And, you know, I started playing with cryptocurrencies back in like 2013, like everybody else. And I didn't think too much about it, honestly, you know, cause it wasn't that interesting to me at the time. And, so, you know, I think a lot of people approach it in that kind of very casual kind of tech is cool kind of way, and, you know, not think about what the ambitions of the project actually are. And so that's kind of what I've been working on for the last several months.
Okay, well, let's get into that. Let's get into what I basically call the case against crypto. I remember reading about crypto for the first time around 2010-11 on a Wired magazine article. I've been subscribed to Wired since college, and it's still a great publication for like knowing what's coming up. And mm-hmm. I